Well, good morning. My name is Tim Denton. I'm the chairman of the local Internet Society in Canada. And I'm talking to Konstantinos Kamaitis of the Internet Society Global, who's based in Geneva, and he's Senior Director for Policy Development and Strategy. And it's Ottawa, it's late February, it's minus 18 centigrade, and the poor man is, why are you here today in this frozen capital?
Hello, team. Well, I've always wanted to visit Ottawa in minus 18, but joking aside, I am here because Canada, as many other countries around the world, are considering regulation on the internet, and the Internet Society is really focused on trying to help governments make the right decisions when they want to regulate things in the internet.
So when you speak of regulation, can you sort of define in any sense what might be encompassed by that term?
I think we can say that it includes a whole variety of issues. Legislation, it can be court decisions that have abiding precedent, that they create binding precedent, or even policymaking in the forms of directives or even policy documents. Anything that can influence policy within the country, we refer to as regulation.
And so what is the problem with this? What is the issue that we're trying to sort out today?
So over the past couple of years in particular, we have observed a trend where almost every country in the world is in the business of regulating the internet. And to us, this could be problematic because by nature, regulation is national and fits within national borders. So when you try to apply this rationale in a global medium like the internet, there are various unintended consequences that could be created. And that's where, if you want, the problem start. And that's where we come in, hopefully, to try to help people understand those unintended consequences and how to avoid them.
Well, can we think of several examples or a few examples of what unintended consequences might mean?
So one clear example is this notion of extraterritoriality. And I think that for our audience, we may want to explain a little bit what it is. It is the notion of regulating nationally, but your laws apply outside the borders of your country. So when you do that in the internet, in a global medium like the internet, then you actually, by default, more or less, create those extraterritorial implications, and that could have dire consequences for the internet and the way it works.
Can you think of some things more specifically? That's a general idea. What might be a specific example of?
So I can think of a couple of examples. The first one is the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, as it's commonly known, that came out of Europe last year, in May of last year. And putting the substance of the GDPR aside, the regulation was imposed in a very top-down manner all across the world. Essentially, it said that it applies to every single country that where European citizens reside. So you can imagine that in a very globalized world, this almost includes every single country in the world. That is the first example. The second example is actually close to Canada. A couple of years ago, the Supreme Court of Canada, in a case related to the right to be forgotten, ruled that Google should be obliged to delist the information of individuals from its global index. Last month, that is January 2019, the Attorney General of the European Court of Justice, in another case, but with similar facts, actually said that Google should not be obliged to be delisting websites or the personal information of people from its global index. So there you have a clear case of two conflicting decisions where the unintended consequence is a potential forum shopping. People will be able to go and choose the jurisdiction that is more favorable to them, depending on which case they're dealing with. And the problem now is that imagine if this now gets multiplied and you have multiple jurisdictions actually doing exactly the same thing. And instead of finding yourself in a situation where you have two conflicting decisions, you have 20 conflicting decisions around the world.
I see the problem. But so how is the poor fellow who walks into the minister's office one day and says, sir, we can't do this because it has implications for international relations. And the minister says, I've got a problem that solves locally.
and these people elect me and they don't. How do you deal with that?
So I don't think that the message here should be do not do this. It should be more, let's figure out how best to do this. We at the Internet Society, we are very clear that when it comes to regulation in the Internet, it is the prerogative of governments to regulate things that they consider challenging. Moreover, over the past couple of years, there have been some serious concerns over things that are happening in the Internet, right? Where we're talking about anti-competitive practices, or whether we're talking about election rigging, or whether we talk about fake news. These are real concerns for governments and for their citizens. What we are trying to do is make state actors and governments and policymakers understand that when you actually want to regulate in the Internet, collaboration is key in order to ensure that those unintended consequences are avoided.
Well, with whom could they collaborate to prevent these bad outcomes?
First of all, they can collaborate amongst states, need to start collaborating closer. The courts need to start collaborating closer, but also they need to start bringing in more expertise in order to make sure that the regulations that they're creating are focused, are informed, and are proportionate.
Well, that's great. This would imply that the idea that government might regulate or legislate intelligently, this is, well, bold. But you're saying basically that the expertise might help us make better decisions.
Well, the expertise here is required, Tim, because we are talking about the Internet. And when we say that the Internet is a complex ecosystem, we should not really underestimate the complexity of that ecosystem. The Internet is a network of networks. Those networks are independent and they're interconnecting voluntarily and they're operating under their own rules. So in order to preserve that interconnection, governments need to understand the nature and the trust-based system that has been created and exactly how packets are routed from point A to point B. Just saying, I have a problem and I am going to regulate and I don't really care about the Internet or the rest of the world, then you create those unintended consequences. And the main problem is that you might find yourself actually excluded from the Internet economy. This is what we need to understand, that it is the decisions that you're making concerning regulation on the Internet are decisions that will most probably affect your economy, it will affect your societies, and it will affect the way your users are participating in this thing that we call the digital economy.
I want to dive in just for a very brief moment before we get back to the larger economic issues. The idea that the Internet is connected voluntarily is not something that is present to the minds of most people who think about the Internet. Do you want to give us a few minutes on that, why it is a voluntary association of networks?
So, this is what makes the Internet unique, right? I mean, we keep on hearing from various people that the Internet is unique and that the Internet is this new, different technology. And the truth of the matter is that this is really the case. The Internet is a decentralized network of networks. That means that there is no center. No one can control it. People participate voluntarily because they want to achieve something out of it. And they all have a shared goal to move packets across the Internet. So there is not a central switch, there is not a central authority that determines that Tim is going to send a packet to Konstantinos just because he has to. Tim chooses to do that because he trusts Konstantinos and he wants to achieve a certain goal that Konstantinos also buys into and wants to reciprocate. This is the whole idea of the Internet, and that is what it makes it such an extraordinary technology, because anyone can participate as long as they are willing to abide by those basic guidelines, if you want, instructions, and then create their own networks and their own rules and being able to interconnect, exchange information, and do what they need to do.
I can confirm that because I was in rooms where engineers were talking about it and somebody said terrible things happen to the packets of a very large company that misbehaves. And it's like a consensus of engineers that these people are okay or not okay that causes various levels of either certainty of packet arrival or uncertainty. But let's get back to the question that concerns the politicians and the decision makers about economic participation in a new economy.
this is really the basic question that we're going to be having to deal with is that if people don't, excuse the expression, smarten up, if people don't make the right kinds of decisions, you can get excluded. I'd like you to unpack on that question if you could.
So one of the things, for example, that we have observed and we have seen with the passage and the further implementation of the GDPR is the issue of fragmentation. So fragmentation is when you start applying to the internet the physical boundaries that exist in the real world, right? So basically, you regulate, for example, the internet with the notion of, okay, the same way I regulate things within Canada, I will do it also in the internet. So you put, if you want, you start building walls around the internet. The GDPR is a good example, and that was an unintended consequence. I mean, the European Union never intended to create legislation that would lead to fragmentation, but because of the GDPR, there are some companies that have made the conscious decision not to comply with the GDPR outside of the European Union. One example is the Chicago Tribune, which currently is not resolvable within the European Union. That means that me, as a European citizen, cannot have access to content that's coming from the United States
right.
because of this regulation. And this is one of the most clear examples of those unintended consequences. So if you start closing the internet down, you cannot participate in the global economy. You are not able, your citizens, your businesses will not be able to interconnect with other businesses, to exchange information with other businesses, and even connect and exchange knowledge and information.
So you're saying essentially that the risk is that the nation state boundaries, or something like nation state boundaries, would start to be imposed on the internet and fragmented, so that the free connection of various entities, business entities, would be broken.
But you create small internets.
Well, isn't that what China and Russia have already done?
Well, China and Russia are not the internet. They have a national online network that has some gateways to the internet when they want to interconnect for commerce issues. But within China, it's not really the internet.
Okay. So what we're talking about then is preserving an open and basically, I would say, liberal trade and idea exchange among various countries without them being broken down into various national intranets.
I would rephrase that to say what we want to achieve is an open internet where people have the choice to voluntarily interconnect with one another. Whether that is the liberal approach, sure, but it is more an issue of choice. It is an issue of I want to be able and choose whether I want to collaborate with someone or not.
Konstantinos, I think you've answered the question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.